for the privilege to see the last Sunday of this month. It's a great privilege. It's not everybody that started the month that is still alive today. Some people have passed away. But the mercy of God kept us. The mercy of God kept our families. The mercy of God sustained us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Him alone deserves to be praised and to be appreciated. So I want us to give Him thanks from the bottom of our hearts right now. Thank Him for your family. Some families started together as one family. They have scattered. But the mercy of God still preserves your family. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him adoration. Exalt His marvelous name. Him alone is worthy to be praised. Oh, King of glory, we thank You. We magnify You. We lift You up. The great I Am will lift You up. Thank You for this opportunity to be in Your presence. We exalt You and we lift up Your holy name. Thank You for what You are doing. Thank You for what You have done. And thank You for more glorious things that You are still going to do in our midst. We exalt Your holy name. Be lifted high. Be exalted. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
And Father, we thank You and appreciate You. Indeed, if all the ears in our heads were tongues, they would not be enough even to give You praise. But we return to say thank You in the mighty name of Jesus for all the testimonies that we have witnessed as families, as individuals, and as a congregation. We say thank You in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we are so confident that the remaining months of the year shall be months of celebration for us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We will always have reasons to celebrate in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We will not mourn in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We shall not weep in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
All of us are in the sanctuary saying amen at this moment. At the end of the year, none of us and all that are numbered with us will be found in the pit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We shall not be found in the grave in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The great I Am will preserve us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Father, as we look into Your word today, we pray that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened afresh in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let Your light shine upon us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Better for Jesus, for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, for the great I Am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, King of Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, so we go to the Word of God and we look at the concluding.
You are my neighbor.
Neighbor, the Lord bless you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our God is good. We are serving the living. Let's take our seat. Thank You, Jesus. We are serving a living God. He is a faithful God. You know, if we really take time to appraise our lives, we will know that this God is faithful in all ways. He's a faithful God. He's a dependable God. The God of this world, they are dead. They are merely existing in the mind of those who created them. But we are serving a God that is always there. And whether we accept that He exists or not doesn't change Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's like when you try to witness to some people and say, oh no, but there is no God. And I'm going to tell them, well, He doesn't need your approval to be God in the first instance. Because He's the one that created the heaven and the earth. So whether you agree or disagree doesn't change the situation. It's a great privilege to belong to that God. And it is my prayer that the glory of that God will continue to reflect in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everywhere you show up, they will see the evidence that you are serving the living God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed blessing upon Abraham and his seed. And that blessing is still speaking up to this moment. Even those who have issue with the nation called Israel, they still want to be part of Abraham. That is to tell you that when God speaks, it stays forever. And it's my prayer that every blessing that has been proclaimed upon you, upon your family, will find practical expression in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
That blessing will find practical expression in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so we go into the Word of God, looking at living a purpose-driven life. Hallelujah. Living a purpose-driven life. Remember, we started the series looking at the Word of God from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Let's quickly go to the Word of God in the book of Matthew. Matthew 6:33 should be a scripture that all of us should know by heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Word of God says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It says, "Seek ye first." Said, don't run after anything, other thing. Don't run after the things of this world. And remember, Jesus did not say, "Oh, but for you don't need them." No, he said, "Your Father have the knowledge that you have the need of them." So he did not ask us to pretend as if we don't need it. Hello? Because when you know, there are two sides of the ditch. Some can say, okay, of course, God didn't call us to be materialistic or to be material conscious. But we have to have the understanding that we have need of things as well. Because because without things, you cannot fulfill assignment that God has given unto you. But God gave us things to be used to fulfill the assignment that he gave unto you and unto us. But we are not supposed to run after things. Things are supposed to be running after us. Hallelujah. He said, "You will be blessed." He said, "All these blessings will run after you, and they will overtake you." That was the promise of the Father for us. But he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles run after." God said that it will run after you. You don't have to run after them. Thank you, Jesus. And remember, we said that this life is for a purpose. That the greatest tragedy in anyone's life is a life without purpose. Everything that is existing for a purpose. And when that thing loses the ability or the capacity to carry out the purpose, it becomes a toy. When you have a pen that you are using to write, no matter how expensive that pen is, if it loses the ability to write, if you want to go and sit for an exam, Do you say, "Oh, because my pen is so expensive, I'm going to take it along"? No. You can't do that, because it has lost the ability to write. It has lost the ability to fulfill the purpose for which it was created. And therefore, it loses its place. You will not lose your place in the mighty name of Jesus. I say, you will not lose your place in the mighty name of Jesus. If a team, maybe a football team, invests on a person, and that person loses his ability to use his leg, we just say, "Okay, because we love you so much, we love your face, and we still go and put you to play an important match, if it's a final, UEFA final, for example. Say, "Oh, we love you. You have contributed so much into this team, but your leg is having a problem." We won't feel that kind of person. What I'm trying to say is that the issue of purpose is so important. But Jesus made us understand that we are created for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the advancement of the kingdom. And like we said from the book of Genesis, he blessed us, or he empowered us, he gave us the responsibility and gave us the ability to carry out that responsibility. And therefore, Jesus speaking, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means seek or run after or long after to enter the kingdom of God. And when you enter the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means his ways of doing things, when you fulfill that, then he said, all these things that you need to fulfill your assignment will be released. We'll follow you. I remember last week we said, when you have authority and you don't have ability, or you have responsibility, you don't have ability, or you have authority but you don't have power, you cannot carry out that authority. Hello? Authority without power to back it up makes you a puppet or a toy. We know that every human being, we are created to fulfill destiny, to fulfill certain things. Yes, that is settled. But if you don't have the anointing to back it up, the opposition will not allow you to fulfill it. Hello? You remember in the book of Acts? Let's quickly go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Acts of the Apostles. I want to make this clear to us before we quickly jump into the other thing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's go to chapter 1 instead. Sorry. You remember they were asking Jesus. Let's start from verse 4. He said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. You remember in book of Mark, he told them, he said, go and make disciples of men. He said, go from Jerusalem, isn't it, to Judea, and to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. If you are familiar with the map of that area, you see that he asked them to start from where they were, and extend to Samaria and to Judea and to the uttermost part, or to the every part of the earth. That was the commandment that Jesus gave them. But it was not enough to have that commandment. They would have ended up as casualties. In fact, Herod would have beheaded them within 1 week. Hello? If you know the intensity of persecution that these people suffered, for 120 thereabout people to have survived to the extent that Christianity is still existing today, it must have taken superior power. Thank you, Jesus. And so, he gave them that commandment to go from Jerusalem to Judea to the uttermost part of the earth. But look at what he said here. He said, assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So, he said, don't depart from this place that you are right now. You know, Yoruba people say that until your hand is able to handle the sword, you cannot ask or challenge the one that killed your father. So, he said, no, don't depart from Jerusalem yet. Why? He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You look at these people. Because you know, average Jewish man, the mentality to be a prince has already been up in their head. You know, Israel, what's the meaning of Israel? Prince of God. Hello? So, they were raised with the mentality to always feel or to know that anywhere they are, they're supposed to be the head and not the tail. And so, when they lost their kingdom, when they were taken captive, and at that time, when the Roman Empire were ruling them, Their desire every day, every moment, was for the kingdom to be restored back to Israel. Hello? For them to become a sovereign nation again. Because when they were taken captive of, the captors sent people to become governors over them. And so their expectation was, the Messiah has come. He has a superior power. Now, let him empower us to become a sovereign nation again. But he told them, he said, thank you, Lord. He said, when they therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? But he was telling them, that's not the main issue. He said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his power. But ye shall receive power. Hello? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Hello? From both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So he said, now, it is not to restore back the kingdom to you. Because if I restore the kingdom to you now, and you lack the power to defend the kingdom, it's useless. Hello? It's like when you have a child, somebody bullying your child in school. You give your child a particular toy. The bully comes, he collects it and runs away. Hello? Until you deal or you empower the child to take care of that bully, or you make him to understand that whenever he comes to you, this is what to do. If you buy another toy, the bully will still come back to steal it. Hello? So he said, no, it's not just about restoring the kingdom back to you. It's about empowering you to keep it. Because of what use is a blessing that you have that you can't keep? Hallelujah. So, what I'm trying to say is that authority and power goes together. But remember that when you have power and you don't have authority, it makes you a dissident. It makes you a rebel. Hello? Just like we have in many nations where they have wars going on now. You know, there are people, there are different groups, they have ammunition, they have power, but they lack the authority to use that power, and that makes that power illegal. Hello? It's just like when somebody's trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and is not saved, he will end up receiving demons. Because the Spirit of God will not come into an unclean vessel. No matter how much he pray, he can pray and hit his head on the floor. The demon will come. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Jesus said that, do not worry. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek to enter the kingdom of God and do things the way of God, and the power or the blessing will follow. Once the blessing is in place, the blessing has the ability to take care of everything. Remember in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he said, let us make man in our own image. And when he made them, in verse 28, the Bible said, he blessed them. The word blessing did not say, okay, just sit down, in Jesus' name you are blessed. No, he empowered them. He poured himself into the man. He poured the ability to carry out the responsibility onto the man. And that's why there is no devil that has enough capacity to stop you except you allow him. Hello? May you not give in to the devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May the devil not succeed in stopping you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so he empowered him. But remember that we said that being a rebel makes you to lose the ability or the right to use power. Once a soldier becomes a dissident, they will withdraw the power or the ammunition that they have given him. And that was what happened to the man. When man fell, when man rebelled against the law of God, he lost the blessing. And what happened to the blessing? The blessing turned overnight, became a curse. To be blessed means to be empowered to succeed. To be cursed means to be empowered to fail. And so when you see curses plaguing a family, curses plaguing a nation, curses plaguing individual, what he does is that he empowered them to fail. He made them to fail cheaply. Hello? In the mighty name of Jesus, every sign of curses in your lineage, by the blood of Jesus, you are redeemed today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every curse that is plaguing your destiny is terminated today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so, but what we're trying to say is that The issue of his righteousness is very important. Because God cannot change. God has not changed. Things are to be done according to the will of God. And like we said the other day, when you take a step against the will of God, what you are doing is that you are quenching the blessing. You are stopping the blessing from flowing to achieve that purpose. Thank you, Jesus. But let us then understand that for us to flow in that blessing, we have to be mindful of God's kind of righteousness. And righteousness in this sense does not just mean to be saved or to receive the righteousness that Jesus purchased for us. We are talking about God's way of things. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. He said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to your people. What is righteousness there? Righteousness means when things are done according to the truth. You will never see a nation that doesn't give respect for law or righteousness in terms of equity and justice that's never going forward. You will not see a nation where accountability is not the order of the day that's never going forward. They will only be going backward. Hello? Hallelujah. No matter what, no matter how great a company is, if you don't follow the due process to do your thing, the company cannot go forward. The Bible, the word of God cannot be broken. It says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to your people. What is sin? Sin is any step that is against the will of God. The Bible describes it as the transgression of the law. That means to cross to the other side. So the issue of staying in the law or doing things God's way is so important. No matter whom you are, no matter what you have, no matter your status, when you take a step that is contrary to the will of God, it can never, ever produce anything good. Hallelujah. And that's why he gave us his word to guide us, to protect us, to help us so that we will straighten up, we will live a righteous life. We will live a life that conforms with the will of God. Thank you, Jesus. But to get access to that word, like we read in the book of Revelation, let's go to that Revelation now, chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 5. Let's start from verse 1. It said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, say no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. There is no man, there is no angel, there is no any other person that has the ability to open the book. And what was the consequence? In verse 4, he said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. So, as long as the book is closed, weeping continues. Remember we said last week, talking about Job. Job's life was going to the drain. He was going down the grave. Sickness was buffeting him. But what it would take for him to be healed was already. But he didn't know. Until the messenger was sent. Hello? And when the messenger came, he showed him his uprightness. And he showed him. And then he recovered. Ethiopian eunuch was there. He was traveling every year, spending his money, spending his time, using his energy to go from Ethiopia to Jerusalem every year for worship. But he was not saved, he was not born again. Until the book was opened. And God took hold of Philip and explained to him what he was reading in the book of Isaiah. It was then that he was able to say, now I can be saved. Now let me be saved. There are many things that are plaguing many families, plaguing many individuals because of lack of understanding. The devil kept on telling them, just manage. Very soon, it will be over. It's a lie. I've told all, I said, nothing gets better with time. It's a lie from the pit of hell to keep people to continue to accept the status quo. Nothing gets better with time. It is time from appropriate effort that makes something to change. Hello? If you take a seed, very wonderful seed, maybe hybrid corn, and you put it here on this table, for example, next 50 years, will it grow? Hello? It will not grow. It will be the same. But when you put it on the ground, when the heat comes and the moisture increase and the pressure and everything on, it will swell and grow. Thank you, Jesus. And so God sent help to Philip. There are many, many people in the Bible that would have died in their situation, but when the scripture was sent to them, when they were able to see it, they say, let me go for it. What I'm trying to say is that it is revelation that will take care of your frustration. Many people's, the source of their challenge is not even any demon per se, but the step that they are taking against the covenant. Because the Bible says that whosoever breaks an egg, serpents will bite. So when you, for example, you are given to confessing negative about your life or about a certain area, when your confession does not align with the word of God or the truth in that area, there's no way you can get victory. And therefore, he sent his word to help us in that category. God wants us to operate according to his own righteousness. Because our own righteousness was conceived from a fallen mind. Remember when man fell? He realized he was naked. What step did he take? Did he say, okay, I'm going to call that designer, make me a nice cloth? No, he didn't do that. He went to make a fig leaf suit, put leaves together to help himself. What I'm trying to say is that there is no genuine help that you can give to yourself outside the help of God. In Isaiah chapter 64 rather, Isaiah 64 and verse 6, he said, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rag, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So our own righteousness or our own ways of doing things is just nonsense when it compares to the things of God. Because the things of God are spiritually discerned. It doesn't make sense. How will a man that is having headache, it is obvious that the symptom is on me, everybody can see it, how will he say, okay, by his stripes I am healed? They will say, you are deceiving yourself. How will a man whose account is showing rent at this moment be saying, no, I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. I cannot go under. My career cannot go under. This company will not go under. We will survive it. They will say, oh no, he's sick. But the ways of God are far, far higher than the ways of men. They are far, far higher than the ways of men. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is that our definition of rightness, our ways that are product of our fallen mind, not the mind of Christ, like the mind that produced fig leaf tree, they cannot take us to the promised land. They cannot help us for their blessings to flow. The natural thing for a man to do is that when he's broke, he will start cutting corners. He will start doing, all manner of manipulations. But the more he does that, the more he keeps himself down. You know, the ways of God is for you to surrender to him and say, Lord, I know that you are my helper. You are the very present help in the time of trouble. What do I do? How do I come out of this situation? Then he sends help your way. He will instruct you. He will give you favor. There are situations where some of the people, they just call them and cancel their debts. And it's okay, you can go now. There are situations where he just makes sure that he opens the windows of heaven upon you for the rain of blessing, and you are able to get enough to pay your debt and still go ahead with life. What I'm trying to say is that let us be mindful of the ways of God. The ways of man say, when somebody offends you, you don't forgive him. But look at the root. Look at the consequences of unforgiveness and strife. It has destroyed many homes. 99.9% of every divorce is as a result of unforgiveness and strife. Every war that they are fighting around the nations of the world today was as a result of unforgiveness and strife. But God said we should forgive. So his ways are far, far higher in Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way," said the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, remember the Bible said that if they had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. You know, he's telling you that somebody was sent by God, called Messiah, to come and save you, and he's going to die. Does it make sense? No, that's one of the reasons why Israel couldn't comprehend this. I say, what kind of savior is that? A savior that could not save himself from the hammer of the Romans. A soldier that could not save himself from the Roman soldiers. How will he save his own nation? And maybe they are looking at you right now. God has sent you to be a succorer. God has sent you to do certain things, but you don't look like it. I am telling you that by the wisdom of God, you will fulfill it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't look at your own size. No, right now. Look at the size of God that has sent you. Because it takes strong level of faith to believe that these same few people, you know, amongst them, let me tell you, Peter was the leader. What did he do? He denied him. Isn't it? Judas, he did something. He betrayed him. Thomas, what did he do? He didn't believe. What of others? They ran away. It was only Thomas that we're talking about. What of others? They ran. They didn't stay. Hello? They didn't stay. Yet, he still looked at these same people and he expected them to take the gospel from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea to the uttermost part of the world. It must have taken God. It must have taken somebody's ability to see farther than ordinary eye can see. Otherwise, you just say, ordinary person will say, "Babe, I'm in trouble. This business is going down now." Because the Peter that I trusted has denied me. Judas, the accountant of the group, he ate and ate and ate as there was nothing to eat to steal anymore. He still went to go and get another thing to sell his master. Thomas said, "No, I don't believe you, except I see the sign." What of others? He ran away. Yet, he was able to believe that all shall be well. It will be well with you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let me just look at one example because we just round up here. Thank you, Jesus. In Romans 10, 1-3, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." See, they had the zeal. They were serving God every day. "Hey, let's go to the temple." Oh, Pharisees, they are so religious that if they touch something that is unclean, they will go and wash and wash and wash before they eat. So they had the zeal. They want to serve God. They desire to serve God. But look at what the Bible said. He said, "For I bear the record that they have a zeal of God. But that zeal is not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. And because of that, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So there is what we call the righteousness of God or the ways of God. How then do we have access to the ways of God? How do we gain access to the ways of God? Remember in Mark chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible said, and when, talking about Jesus, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." You know, he gave them the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. He told them the parables. And so, when they finished the meeting, when they were sitting somewhere with the master, they asked him separately. And he said, "And said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are outside or without, all these things are done." So to the people that are outside the faith, it is given in parables. Why? Because the things of the kingdom of God are for the children of God. So God is not hiding things from us. He's hiding things for us. Hello? And therefore, we need revelation to assess the mysteries of the word of God. What is revelation? Revelation is the unfolding of the truth. When it is open, Ethiopian Union has been reading it for years. He read and read and read, didn't understand it, until by the help of of God, he was able to see that, oh, this is how to be saved. It's not about traveling from Ethiopia, from Africa to Jerusalem every year. That one is wonderful. But the only way is to accept Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And say, now I accept, baptize me, and I was saved. So, revelation is the unfolding of the truth of the word of God. So when you are able to understand it, or when you understand it come alive, you will be able to follow it, because you cannot follow instruction that you don't understand. Hello? You cannot follow it. That's why, you know, when you are reading this driving thing, they will say there are two types of learning. This is superficial learning, and you just cram it. A, B, C, D, you pass the exam. But after 2 months after, you drive, they shake their head for you. Even though you pass, because that's superficial learning. But when you learn it when you go to the depth of it, deep learning, you are able to understand it and understand the principles. So even without being told, it sticks to you. Hello, you are driving. When you get to one area, without being told, it goes to your subconscious mind that this is how to navigate in this area. Hello, and that's what God wants us to understand, that it's understanding that makes you outstanding. We have to understand the things of God before you can follow it. Otherwise, you don't do it religiously. You will not do it according to faith. And when faith is not released, it is your religion. You won't get the result that way. Thank you, Jesus. And so Jesus told them, he said unto you it is given to know the mystery. So it is only the children of God that can know the mystery of the things of God. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, there was a time they gave Jesus, when he started his ministry, the scripture to read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And he said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said, what is he saying? And at the end he said, unto this day, this scripture is fulfilled. He said, They started looking at him. They've been reading this same scripture over and over. Every day, every time they give the scroll to somebody to read it, but they didn't understand it. Until Jesus read it that day and said, now this scripture is being fulfilled. And I said, now you are talking. What I'm trying to say is that we need the revelation or the understanding of the things of God for us to be able to flow with it or to follow it. Without the understanding of it, you cannot follow it, or you'll be doing it religiously. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've told you my own example in the past. They say, this one is witch, this one is wizard. Oh, whatever, you go to one night prayer, you shake your head, you pray. You come back the following morning, you sleep. You had a dream again. You say, Mobile. You see? Because you don't have the revelation of whom you are in Christ Jesus. And I kept on going to all night and pray, and nothing happened. Until I had the light that says in the book of Revelation that, I am seated in heavenly realm with Christ Jesus, far above principalities and power. So now, if I see any witch, I won't even pray before I slap him. That's the truth. Hello? Because the revelation of who I am in Christ Jesus made me to understand that I am seated in Christ Jesus far above principalities and power. So when you are crying as a Christian because of a witch, it's because of ignorance. Hello? Because a witch is just a human being possessed by a demon, not even the devil himself. But the devil, their master, Bible says you are far, far, far ahead of him. Hello? So when I say, when someone is possessed, you say you are afraid to go to his house. You say, so what? You tell the devil to shut up. Why? You have the understanding of whom you are in Christ Jesus. If you go to a place now and they tell you because of your race, because you are black, or because you are a woman, and they want to bring you down, if you don't have the understanding that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, or fearfully created by God, you will accept it. Isn't it? And you start crying. And you accept their life. But when you have that understanding, you say, no, devil, shut up. Don't come here. I'm fearfully and wonderfully created. Bible says that God is not a respecter of person. So whether you are white or green doesn't make a difference. In Christ Jesus, I am complete. Hello? Or when the devil tried to bring your past to you, and say, remember 1974, 1976, you bought that thing, you didn't pay well. You do corner. Yes, that was then. I'm now saved. Hello? And it is written that if a man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. God never made reference to all the mistakes, all the sins that Paul committed. You know, Paul was a murderer. Hello? You remember that when they were killing Stephen, he was the ringleader. He asked the boys to stone him and he was protecting their cloth. Let me help you hold your cloth and kill him where? But when he met Jesus, did Jesus say, okay, you murderer? No. Everything. As wayward as Jacob was, when he had encounter with God, what happened? He became Israel. Hello. Hello. You know, without that understanding, you cannot boldly go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Because with same consciousness, you'll be saying, in Jesus' name, oh God, all my sins. They'll say, oh, your sins have been forgiven. He gives you boldness. Boldness, we're not talking of boldness in the flesh. We're talking of boldness of faith. Hello? That's why one of the greatest attacks to people's life in the kingdom is sin consciousness. The devil will tell you that, you know, if you pray, God will not even answer, you know. You know, remember that even though those pastors, they are higher, that's why God is answering their problem. They are even super holy. It's not true. Hello? It's just we are product of grace, sir. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we round up, what are the boosters of revelation? What makes a revelation to come alive? Number one, you must be born again. Without revelation, there cannot be revolution. Revelation is the cure for every frustration. That is knowing what to do when light of God comes upon you. And what will help you to come, for the revelation to come is, number one, you must be born again. So you must be born again. That's John chapter 3 and verse 3. You cannot access the kingdom of God except you are born again. You remember Jesus said in that Mark that we read that this thing it is spoken in mystery. And for those outside the kingdom, it is unspoken for them in parables. That is Mark chapter 4, 10 through to 13. But those who are within, those who are in the house, those who are children in the house, they have right, it is their right. You remember that woman went to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, heal me. He said, no, I can't heal you. Because at that time, he said his ministry was to minister to the household of Israel. And you are not a Jew. And he said, okay, but even when the big man eats and the crumbs fell on the floor, the dogs eat. He said, okay, then you can have the crumb blessing. But the real blessing belongs to the children. Hello? So are you born again? Are you saved? Then it is your right. Say, revelation is my right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So every time you see anything that is not clear to you, know that it is your right in Christ Jesus to gain access to them, to what to do in the scripture. Lord, what must I do? And the light of God will shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number two, you must be in the spirit. Number one, you must be born again. Number two, you must be in the spirit. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. You must be in the spirit to access the deep things of God. Hello? What does it mean to be in the spirit? You know that means you must sharpen your spirit. You know, when you have, during those days, when we were watching football in Nigeria, you know, you used to have that bamboo antenna. And if you are watching, it's not clear. You have somebody, go and turn it. Turn it to the left. So, because the antenna wasn't sharp enough. So you come with all manner of distorted image. But if you have a very good antenna, it will be sharp. So when your spirit man is dull, you cannot pick the signal. Hello? You will just be hearing nonsense. And you're thinking that you're picking signal from heaven. May your spirit not be dull in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So sharpen your spirit. See, I will sharpen my spirit.
Sharpen my spirit.
Be in the spirit. He said, I was in the spirit and I had. So be in the spirit. Number four. And number three, you must be given to prayer and fasting. Hello?
Hi.
You know, fasting is not just to abstain from food. Fasting is to shut down the physical signal temporarily so as to receive signal from heaven. Hello? So pray and fast. And that's Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 and 9. You must be prayerful and give time to fast. And number four, take advantage of the ministries of the anointed teachers. For you to access revelation cheaply, take advantage of the ministries of the anointed teachers. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 11 through to 13. The Bible says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So the responsibility of those in the ministry is to feed the flock with knowledge and understanding. So take advantage of the ministry of the teachers. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The last one, before we stand up. Learn to ask specific questions. Hello? When you are praying, don't just go, God, what are we praying about today? Oh, yes, what do I pray? Okay, let that rise, let the price drop in Jesus' name. No. No, ask specific questions. Lord, what must I do to get this expected result? This person has been ministering salvation to him or to her all the year. He's not responding. Lord, what step must I take? Lord, this thing has been crawling all this year. Lord, what are you saying concerning it? Let us stand up. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That's how to do it. Jeremiah chapter 33. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in verse 3. Jeremiah 33:3. And Mary say that is the telephone number of God. That's God's telephone number. Let me read from here before we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Did he say, okay, call unto me and I will check if I can answer you? No. God was affirmatively telling his people, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee. I see you receiving answers from heaven, the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, call unto me. So learn to call for specific things. Learn to call on God for specific things. And God said, it's his promise. He said, I will show you. I will show you, Lord, what is the secret behind supernatural health? God will show you. Lord, what is the secret behind prosperity? It's a promise. He said, I will show you. Don't pray, you know, this vague prayer. Oh God, in Jesus' name, bless me. Jesus said, what should I bless you? What exactly do you want? Be specific in your prayer, your approach when you are praying. Ask for questions. Lord, I don't like the way this person is reacting to me. Lord, what must I do? He will tell you, take it easy with him. He will tell you, he's doing reacting to you that way because your time is up in that place. So I'm the one that is tearing up the environment for you to move to the next level. See, ask specific questions. Don't just jump and say, okay, and assume. Because assumption will always lead to frustration. Hello? Ask specific questions. These children, or this child is not even doing well according to my expectation in school. What is going on? Because your word made me to understand that the generation of the upright shall be mighty. So how can my child be being at the bottom of the class? No. I have the mind of Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So my child cannot be at the bottom of the class. And God will say, yes, I understand. This is the step to take. He will give you practical step. Be praying over him. Lay your hand on him. Release your spirit upon him. He will even tell you, create more time for him. You know, some kids that have issues may not even be because of any other thing. Maybe because of fear or lack of confidence in certain things. And when you walk, you hang around them and you boost their confidence, you see the best out of them coming. There is always God's way out of something. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's begin to give him praise and give him thanks and bless his holy name. Let us thank him that the revelation of the truth shall come afresh our way. The revelation that will burst every frustration out of our life. It shall come our way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, let us pray and give him thanks. Let us pray and give him thanks and bless his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
You know, when we were in Nigeria then, you know, it used to be normal that, oh, malaria. Say, oh, once mosquito bite, he bites you. You know, but just hearing somebody's testimony, I say, okay, if Jesus was living in Nigeria, would he be having malaria? Hello. I mean, have you ever heard that? Oh, and they carry Messiah. And Matthew said, oh God, Messiah, don't die. Malaria want to kill him. No. No, never. How did he ever, how was he able to survive in that kind of environment? There must have been God's way out of every situation. Hello? And the Lord leave it. Every area that is a concern in your life, the way out will be released this same week in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything that is giving you sleepless night, the God of heaven will visit you with solution this week in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jacob's life was just going down the drain. Nothing was working well, despite the fact that everything was supposed to work well for him. But at a point, he discovered that despite the wealth that he inherited from his father, despite the one that he managed to acquire by himself through sweat, without the blessing of God, he couldn't work. And so he went to that place and he prayed and he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Why? He had the understanding that it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh it and added no sorrow. So he said, all this sorrow that has been plaguing me, problem with the children. He said, oh no, it must be over, sir. And when he had that encounter, everything turned for his favor. I see everything turning for your favor in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This month of delivery, this month of harvest, the remaining days for you to come to an end, it shall be your days of harvest in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It shall be the harvest of testimony for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It shall be the harvest of testimony for your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It shall be the harvest of testimony for your company in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every of your expectations shall become manifestation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And above everything, the Lord will decorate you with his glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People will look at you and they will celebrate your glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.